Hi, I'm Laura Calugar, Senior Editor with Multi Housing News, and you're listening to NIA Insights, the quarterly podcast series that brings you the latest from the National Apartment Association. 2023 was a difficult year for many reasons, and 2024 is shaping up to be another challenging year. To get a glimpse of what multifamily owners and operators should pay attention to as economic performance continues to be hard to predict, I've invited Paula Munger, NIA's Vice President of Research, to talk about the outlook for the sector. Welcome back, Paula. Thank you for making the time to chat with me.
Oh, you're welcome, Laura. Happy to be here.
First, let's talk about what happened in 2023. How did the American economy perform throughout the year? It seems that there were many fluctuations across several metrics, right?
Yeah, fluctuations is the perfect word. But it actually performed amazingly well, considering we're in this high interest rate environment. GDP was higher than expected in both third and fourth quarters, and inflation is really coming in nicely. It's a little bumpy. So, like you said, fluctuating, but the Fed warned us about that, that it would not be a straight line trajectory down to their 2% target.
The labor market steadily cooled throughout 2023. Should that cause concern for the multifamily industry? Several industry executives told me last year, for example, that their number one challenge was finding labor. So what does a cooling labor market mean for multifamily businesses?
Yeah, I mean, finding labor is still an issue for sure. And then when you look at the other side of that, driving demand for apartments are jobs. So cooling job growth is never great for either of those instances, because we always want a lot of jobs. But two factors that make this not so bad, and before I even get into that, we're not losing jobs. So that's key. And wage growth is still elevated. So that means there's many both existing and prospective renters that can afford where they're living now or to even trade up. And the other thing to remember is that the cooling labor market is actually the Fed's goal in helping them tame inflation. And it really looks like they're on that path to achieve that goal, which means they're going to start cutting interest rates. In fact, we know they're going to be cutting interest rates this year. And that's huge for the industry. So capital is going to become less expensive. Lending standards are beginning to loosen somewhat. And because there are the cooling labor market, that means it's not as competitive. So hopefully owners and operators will get some relief on that front as well in terms of finding more candidates.
Mm-hmm. We can't talk about labor without referring to wages and hourly earnings. What can you tell us about wage rigidity? How do wages adjust to shocks or weak economic performance?
Yeah, wages are really sticky right now. And part of the reason is what I just mentioned. Even though it's a cooling labor market, it's still pretty strong. So wages are responding to highly elevated levels of job openings. They've come down off peak, but they are still way above the norm. And again, continued job growth. And of course, when consumers face higher prices, they demand higher wages to help offset that. So in that sense, wages are also responding to inflation.
You just mentioned that the Fed hasn't raised interest rates in a while now. In fact, the central bank kicked off 2024 with another interest rate pause. But rates do remain high. How will this high interest rate environment weigh on the apartment sector in the short to medium term?
Yeah, as I mentioned, the cost of capital, that's definitely a big concern. Also, financing availability and a very challenging financing environment are going to continue to weigh on the sector. We've already seen a lot of that. And when it comes to transactions, buyers and sellers are still pretty far apart on pricing. We're thinking that that's going to improve a bit this year, but it's still really challenging. And until we start seeing those rate cuts and seeing the impacts, we're going to be in a challenging environment.
What are the ripple effects across the economy of this higher for longer strategy that the Fed seems to have embraced?
We'll continue to see affordability issues in the for sale housing market. And that's going to help fuel some demand for rental housing. But remember, raising interest rate is intended to cool the economy. So we're going to see a cooler economy, both in terms of economic economic growth moderating, we do expect GDP to be lower, even though it surprised to the upside at the end of last year. And we do expect the job market to weaken further. And I'm going to use weaken rather than cool, because, you know, the Fed really wants to see jobs right at around 100,000. And we are seeing forecasts. In fact, Moody's Analytics is forecasting monthly job gains only around 40,000 by the time we get out to 2026. So we can certainly expect this higher for longer to sort of cool the economy.
You mentioned a few minutes ago that inflation has been on everyone's minds. Consumers, though, seem to keep spending. But how long before they reach the bottom of their pool of savings? How will inflation evolve this year? What should we expect?
That is the big question, Laura. Consumers, they are so hard to figure out right now. So for a long time, it's just finally starting to shift, but they are not feeling good about the economy. They are not feeling good about their financial situations. Consumer sentiment looks like it does during a recession, and yet they're still spending. So, but the savings rate is definitely coming down. I'm glad you mentioned that. It was 3.7% in December. And just for perspective, in the 5 years leading up to the pandemic, it was 6.2%. So quite a drop there. But there's also credit cards, and we're seeing balances go up, generally speaking. And remember, we're still seeing wage growth. So they do have some spending power yet left. I also think, though, that those levels aren't sustainable, and we will likely see that coming down in 2024. And in terms of inflation, I do think it's going to continue to be bumpy. So we'll have months where it's up and months where it's down. But we know that shelter costs are a third of CPI. And we know, because the private sector data providers in tracking rent are basically giving us a leading indicator. So we know that shelter costs are going to continue to fall in 2024, and that'll improve. So we'll see further improvement in inflation this year.
Besides some aspects that you already mentioned, what are some other threats to economic stability in 2024? We have the elections later this year, but there are other events or metrics that leaders, multifamily leaders, need to pay close attention to, right? I'm referring to debt availability, potential government shutdowns, or even conflicts around the world that could derail the global economy and ultimately impact the U.S. economy as well.
Yeah, 2024, I hate to use the word again, I probably said it 10 times already, but it's going to be challenging. but let's separate out what we really can't control, like wars, other geopolitical events, U.S. government shutdowns. Lately, that's been something that pops up. It feels like every few months. There's always going to be those downside risks like that, and they could absolutely turn an economy upside down and take the industry with it. But some of the things they can control, like operational efficiencies, that's once again in the spotlight in 2024. I think we talked about that a year ago at this time. And
right.
It seems crazy to say, but I think it's even more important this year, and looking for ways to cut those expenses, because rents are still going to be soft. Expenses are still going to be elevated. And so cutting expenses, often through technology, that's going to be key for this year. And remember, the Fed might be done with the tightening cycle, but so much can go wrong with the loosening cycle. So if they cut too much or cut too fast, and the economy responds too quickly and starts overheating, we might be looking at inflation squarely in the face again, and we definitely don't want that.
Right. Another aspect that multifamily owners and operators keep a close eye on is demographic growth. What challenges lie ahead? We know that the U.S. population is aging, and aging fast. So what does that mean for the industry?
Census just came out with updated population projections, actually, at the end of December. So they are between now and 2030. 88% of the population growth is coming from the 65 plus cohort. 88%. And
wow.
Like you said, we know it's aging. We know it's aging fast. We know this has been coming. And we also know this group rents, but not as much as younger cohorts. So that group has the highest home ownership rate and always has. We also expect the 18 to 24-year-olds during that time frame between now and 2030, we expect that cohort to shrink. And that's certainly a potential challenge for student housing. The one plus on the projections that I saw is that that middle cohort, which is fairly large, is 25 to 64-year-olds. They are still growing during this time. So we can certainly, we'll see basically demand coming from 25 plus over the next 6-7 years.
Mm-hmm. Multifamily construction has also had a difficult year, mainly due to higher costs. What should we expect for deliveries this year and further down the road?
Well, we know there's about 1 million units under construction right now, but we do see permits and starts moderating. The Census Bureau just came out with December numbers about 2 weeks ago, so we now have a full year. So when you're looking at 2023 compared to 2022, permits are down 20%. Starts are down around 14%. And that's really not a bad thing because it's going to give all that supply coming online time to get absorbed. Mm-hmm. But yeah, starting in later in 2025, we will definitely be seeing fewer deliveries coming online and into 2026.
And how will rent performance and occupancy be impacted by the record number of units brought online by developers over the past 3 years? The upscale segment is already bearing the brunt of rent declines, right?
Absolutely, yeah, which makes sense because that's mostly where all the supply is coming in. So definitely see the highest rent declines among that Class A sort of product. And I think we can expect more declines in rents. And we're seeing a lot of deliveries that are way above normal, particularly in markets in the Sun Belt. So markets like Austin, Raleigh, Nashville, a couple in Florida, Sarasota, and Jacksonville are seeing rent declines and occupancies down. And I think that's going to spread across more markets as this new supply continues to come online.
Meanwhile, housing affordability is at a 40-year low. The housing crisis has never been more severe for low-income residents in particular. Can it get any worse?
Well, if we're looking at the National Association of Realtors Index, the housing affordability, which actually measures for ownership, it's really plunged over the last couple of years. But we've seen it lower. So as much as I hate to say this, yeah, I think it can get worse. On the one hand, we know that mortgage rates are definitely going to start to come down this year. But there's so much pent-up demand for housing that unless we start to see some of those sellers, remember, a lot of homeowners right now are locked into mortgages at very low rates. So if they don't start coming back into the market, that pent-up demand is going to do nothing but push prices up further.
We've talked about so many grim aspects, but there are also reasons for optimism, right? What are the good signs that you see in the economy today?
Yes, I'm happy to say there are definitely good signs. I mean, like I already talked about the GDP growth, but that was really so unexpected and such a nice surprise. And then also consumer sentiment is finally starting to pick up. So just looking at the one measure, there's several measures, but looking at the University of Michigan index, it shot up in December and the preliminary estimate for January, if it holds, will be the highest level in 2.5 years. And actually, if that holds, that would be the largest two-month increase since 1991. And what was happening in 1991, we were coming out of a recession, which is really interesting because the sentiment index has looked like it's in a recession for the past couple of years. So consumers are finally seeing a light at the end of the tunnel. They are seeing gas prices coming down. We know those are highly correlated to sentiment. And they really feel like inflation, they're going to have some control over inflation in the coming months. And that's a really big positive for the economy. And for the industry, renting is still the more affordable choice right now. And it looks to stay that way for quite some time.
Would you like to add anything else about what's next for multifamily after last year's ups and downs?
Yeah, I think, you know, I hate to say it because it's oversaid, but the expression we hear a lot is survive until 25. Although I did hear someone say recently, I'm going to thrive until 25. So we do have some optimists out there. And remember, it's still one of the preferred asset classes for investors. We see that time and time again. The old adage that everyone needs a place to live. And
Right.
while there are challenges this year, you know, we've weathered these challenges before. So I think everyone's just buckling in. They know it's going to be difficult, but 25 looks to be a lot brighter.
Thank you very much, Paula. I appreciate you sharing your thoughts and insights with our listeners.
You're welcome. Happy to do it.
Thank you all for listening. The next NAA Insights episode will come out next quarter. But until then, you can check out multihousingnews.com for the latest news, feature stories, and podcasts. And if you want to share your own voice with our audience, the MHN Executive Council is your go-to platform. This online tool is dedicated to multifamily leaders who want to stay in touch with each other and discuss trends and issues affecting the industry. All their valuable insights are regularly posted on our website. So if you're interested in having your voice heard, please get in touch with Editor-in-Chief Jessica Fuhrer at jessica.fuhrer@cpe-mhn.com. Till next time.